The anointing is always a person, and his name is the Holy Spirit. So when somebody's anointed, what they're doing is they're cooperating with the Holy Spirit on the inside of them to do what they need to do. I've been in thousands of church services in my lifetime, and I've seen many gifted in the natural musicians. But how many times have you seen those? Those guys are very good, but you'll go to another church service or another conference or listen to a CD. These guys aren't technically as good on the natural, but there's something about it. You feel the anointing. What does that mean? You recognize that they're participating with the Holy Spirit in doing what they're doing. So you not just feel them, you feel the Holy Spirit working through them, that as they're playing their chords, obviously they got to be good, because if they're hitting the wrong chords, it's very distracting. But as they're working and doing the best they can in the natural skills, they're cooperating with the Holy Spirit and listening intently. Should I take it this direction or that direction? Or, Lord, let my life be a living sacrifice to you. And you go, wow, that's anointed. Why is it anointed? It's because they're cooperating with the Holy Spirit that's already on the inside of them. It's like that anointing oil being poured on them, but it's coming up from inside of them. I know that's a theological lesson there, but I just like to use the right terms. Many years ago, as I came out of the charismatic church, I was talking about the anointing, and I guess I didn't mean it this way, but subconsciously I was thinking of it as an it or a spirit, and the Holy Spirit rebuked me. He goes, don't ever do that again. He goes, because you're acknowledging something I bring without acknowledging me. The anointing is a person. And the old, where they poured the oil in the Old Testament was just symbolic of the best they can do because the Holy Spirit wasn't there to come on the inside of them. I tell you what, those guys, Elijah, Samuel, all the great prophets, Moses, Abraham, great men of God that I just admire, they're my heroes. I'm telling you, back then, they looked forward to this day and going, oh, I get anointing oil on me. I get inspiration every once in a while. But those guys get to live with what I get to experience just a few times in my life. Amen. That was not the message, but it was a good one. We may just hang there. I'll tell you what, today I'm going to take his Psalms 37. We didn't coordinate, but he's talking about not fretting in the world and not understanding that. And I'm going to take it and just preach on it. Just keep going. He only had a few minutes, so I'm going to finish this sermon for him. Is that all right? Yeah. He'd probably do a better job, but you're stuck with me this time. I want to today tell you where we're at as a nation and how we're going to save this nation. So we're going to start off with the darkness, but we're going to end up with the lightness. Because you are the hope for this nation. It is very important. We use another word. Let me define it. The kingdom of God. We use that word around here all the time. Everybody preaches on it. It's good because it says, I will not come back till the kingdom of God is preached to the whole world. You go back and read Matthew 28 on that. It's not the gospel of salvation, but the gospel of the kingdom. And the kingdom is this. Let me give you a definition of it. We use it all the time. It doesn't hurt to repeat. I'm going to read to you the Lord's Prayer out of Matthew 6:9. If you have a Bible, you can turn there, or you can listen. But Matthew 6:9, give you a few seconds to get there. Get your iPhone clicked over there or find the pages. You know, today, as you're looking for that, kid, I grew up having Bible drills. Okay, we don't do them here because I got so burned out on them. I'm like, I never want to see another Bible drill. Now, if Diane or Gary wants to do a Bible drill, it's actually a good thing. But man, I grew up in a church, every week we'd have these competitions, and whoever won and got the most, then they got some prize. It was actually a good discipline. But the point is, most kids could not do Bible drills today. They could find it on their Bible study app, but they could not find it any other way. It's not necessarily bad or good. Matthew 6:9, stop digressing, Craig. Says, this then is how you should pray. Jesus is telling his disciples how to pray. Our Father, how many of you know the Lord's Prayer? In heaven, hallowed be your name. Here it comes. Here's the definition of the kingdom. It's this simple. We preach all around it. I'm going to be preaching about it today. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So whenever you hear one of us or somebody else, the topic's growing, and you hear the kingdom of God, this is the definition. It's as simple as this. It's to look, my world is to look like heaven's world. That's it. As it is in heaven, so it is on earth. Let's make it a little bit more personal. As it is in heaven, so it is in my family. As it is in heaven, so it is in my marriage. As it is in heaven, so it is in my body. As it is in heaven, so it is in my workplace. As it is in heaven, so it is in Dalton. As it is in heaven, so it is in the United States of America. Obviously, those are big. But think with me for a moment. We're going to talk about this theme all day today. What would my marriage look like if we were married and in heaven? We know there's no marriage in heaven, but what would it look like? What would my, how me as a parent, I'm a father of three kids, praise God for Stephen, has eight kids. There's a certain anointing that it takes to do eight kids. I do not have it. Three, my quiver is full. I'm happy with three. I'm good with three. Four, I would have to go to a psychologist, okay? Or a Christian psychiatrist and get, have you got anointings for different things? Brian over here has got five kids. I admire. Amen. Heaven is a perfect picture of what the kingdom of God is like. And when he set up man in the Garden of Eden, he said, multiply, be fruitful. The Garden of Eden looked like heaven. Different environment because it's a different location. If I go to Switzerland, it's a different environment, but it's a good place. If I go to Kenya, it's a different environment. It's a good place. Eden was a different environment, but it looked like heaven. And he said, take this, multiply it, and make it fruitful. Make it bigger. Eden did not cover the whole earth. We don't know how big it was. We think it was somewhere around Baghdad, that it was some circumference that was big enough for them to maintain and keep it looking like at heaven according to their abilities now. And when he said multiply and make fruitful, what he was saying was, you're going to have to grow in your skills of management, plus have some offspring, and keep this thing multiplying. That was what I call the original commandment. And it has not changed. Even though they sinned, even though they did not fall, even though they fell and got away from it, Jesus Christ came back and said, I give you all authority on heaven and on earth to start reclaiming the original commandment, because nothing in God's kingdom does he ever forget or retract. And many times we're thinking, okay, this thing was gone. It's going to be now in heaven somewhere. Your ultimate place is back here on the earth. Even after you die, you're going to go to heaven for a time, but it's just simply until time, till he's going to see the original commandment fulfilled on this earth. And he wants us to start now. That's why he says, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Some of us die before we accomplish that task, and that's because of sin. But he's going to eventually come back with resurrected bodies to finish the task. But before we die, how many of you are still living in here? Hopefully all of you. That your job is to still carry that thing out now. And that's what the anointing of God on your life is one of the primary reasons for, is to see your family, your parenting techniques, your work, look here as it does in heaven. That means you're going to have to push into him, figure out what his voice is, how to apply the known principles that we know to your area. Today, I want to try to show you it is possible. At the end, we're going to watch a 15-minute video called part of the Transformations video. Those of you that have been through the growth journey might have seen it. That video talks about four places on earth where this is happening. We're going to look at one of them because of time. It's an hour video. We're going to look at how they believed for this in Guatemala and how it changed. See, we're all waiting for an event of Jesus Christ coming back, and I am too. But until then, the event is you taking, okay, how can I be a better father? How can I be a better farmer? How can I be a better programmer? How can I be a better whatever? If Jesus Christ, see, Jesus Christ worked in the marketplace. He lived on earth for 33 years. Only three of them was a full-time ministry. There's a lesson there. Did God waste his time as a carpenter from about 12, 13, 14 years old till he was 30? We're not sure. But at least 15 years of his life, close to half of it, he was a carpenter that made furniture. Was that a waste of time? No. That was his highest calling at that time. He was bringing the kingdom of God into that place. And so Psalms 115:16, if you want to turn to there. It sets up a principle that we have to understand, we have to grasp, that I was never taught till maybe 6-7 years ago, or really grasp. Psalms 115:16 says this. I see a couple of you turning there. We'll wait a second. Take a breath. The highest heavens belong to the Lord. How many of you believe that? But the earth he has given to man. Now we need to fundamentally understand this. This is huge. Well, how come Jesus hasn't redeemed the earth and changed it around now? Because it's not his. Now he's a man, so that's why he's going to come back and help us. But I'm talking about God as a whole. The heavens belong to him. He's got his act cleaned up there. Now, Jesus is a little different because he took the form of a man. He's going to come back and help us, but he gave it to you and I. Well, how come my family's messed up? Probably because Craig messed it up. Now, if I have father-mother issues, it might have started there. Did he mess it up? Why is there so much evil in the world? This is a basic question. It's very simple. Every time a disaster happens in America, they go, why did God cause this? It's God did not cause it. He could have kept it from happening. Yes, he could have. But he could have also kept you from going over the speed limit this week as you broke the law. He could have also kept you from lusting by removing your front lobe of your brain. If you want God to control evil, he has to keep all evil out of the way. But he believes in you and I enough, and the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and the Word as it changes your life, to affect around you. So when evil happens, it is a consequence of man and their decisions. Maybe not yours, but somebody else's. Turn with me over to, let me find this. Turn over to Romans 7, verse 19. This is basic stuff, but it's stuff I did not know for years. There is the sovereignty of God, but a lot of his sovereignty, sovereignty means him going to do it no matter what, but a lot of his sovereignty, he has chosen in his sovereignty to delegate what's going to happen to come through you. Otherwise, he keeps stepping over the boundaries of what he's given to you. If you're a parent, you give your kid a car as a present, and you keep taking it back and say, well, you're not driving it right, or you're not keeping it clean enough, or you're not replacing the tire soon enough, that's going to get old quick, isn't it? Plus, they won't assume responsibility. Well, they could wreck it if they keep driving that way. They sure can. But it's a great way to grow up. You don't want them hurt, but it's a great way to grow up. And he's done that same thing with us. Romans 7:19 says this. The creation, that's talking about the earth, waits in eager expectation for the sons of God, that's you, to be revealed, which means to rise up, understand the authority God's given you, understand the grace he has given you. For the creation has been subjected to frustration. That means the earth groans, is another translation. Every time there's a tornado or there's a typhoon in the Philippines. Under the Garden of Eden, where it was originally, there was none of that. But when we sinned, our consequences not only caused death for us, but it also somehow or another affected the creation that we were to lord over. And it's now God has given us, it says, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. And it's going to be brought into glorious freedom. By who? The children of God. So this is what I want to say. We could talk a long time on this. Your decisions and my decisions, God in his sovereignty has allowed us to reap the consequences of those things. And what we have to do is to step in and say, Father, I repent of what I have done. Not just at salvation, but where I've been, lost my temper as a father, been short as a husband, been rebellious as an employee. Say, Father, I repent of that, and I pray that my consequences that I deserve, you deliver me from these things. And by your grace and by your mercy, step in, and let's start doing some consequences that are good. Every action you do, is because of a behavior you do, and your behavior is because of a belief. And you can have good consequences and bad consequences. And as we do the good consequences based on biblical principles, it starts bringing in alignment ourselves and our things around us, and it starts allowing the kingdom of God to come back in. Now, let's talk about our country. Our country is reaping the consequences of kicking God out of its thoughts, of its behaviors, of its actions, of its schools, everything. This is a post-Christian nation. You may be a Christian, but it's a post-Christian nation. This nation is no longer ruled by kingdom principles or biblical principles. It is ruled by this. Use a big word, but it's called humanism. Humanism is this. The human decides what is right and wrong. What is good in our own eyes. I'm moving around my notes. I'm trying to figure out. I'm not following them where we're at. And so, when we have disastrous things happen in our country, when the economy is not prosperous, the answer is not a better government. Americans have made government God. You don't believe me? You stop Social Security checks for a month. You stop food stamps for a month. You stop unemployment for a month, and you will see absolute anarchy and chaos and blood in the streets. Why? Because our trust is not in God of the Bible. Our trust is in God of the United States government. And God will not allow idols in his place. And so what he has done, he said, okay, you have kicked me out, and you have made whatever looks good in your own eyes the top thing, then I will let you suffer the consequences of it. If you don't want me, fine. I am a gentleman. I do not push myself on you. It's not even judgment. It's respect for you and I and the 330 million people in this country. Now, this ends up good, but I want to try to set it. You have to realize two things. This country is ruled by humanists. Whatever seems good in their eyes, withholding no pleasure. That's what Romans 1 says. Every sexual deviant behavior is, if it's not legal, it's encouraged. Okay? Now listen to me. The answer to this is not walls. They will not work. I was a part of the moral majority in the 80s. We did all our thing with Jerry Falwell. It was good. I think we need good laws. We need good politicians. And I'm not telling you, abandon those things. But that will not save this country because it is a moral issue. There were two things that the founding fathers said the republic, which is what we are. We often say a democracy, but it's a republic, although it's pretty close to a democracy now. I don't have time to go look at those terms. You can go read about them later. But said it cannot survive two things: where the treasury of the people, where the treasury of the government is open to the people, and two, it has to be it's a system that can only be done by people who exercise self-control, who have a moral and a good basis. Well, both of those are broken. Over 50% of the people now get their income from the federal government. We can talk about people on unemployment. We can talk about people on Social Security. But the biggest people getting paybacks is corporations through grants and regulations and tax-exempt status. They've realized where the treasury is. We are broke. Rick Joyner, who is a Morningstar Ministries in Charlotte, North Carolina, he has an association of ministers that I'm part of. He said, I meet regularly with senators who in private come to him and say, there is no way we're going to get out of the mess we're in. That comeuppance is coming. Bankruptcy is coming in this country. We're already bankrupt. We're over our credit limit. The lenders have just not cashed in. But I'm telling you, this God is setting us up so that we move our trust from the government to him. Now, us in this room, we want to move our trust from him, from the government now to him then. So that when chaos comes, when darkness comes, let me read to you. I'm not even close to where. Let's find some verses here. Let me read to you Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. God is setting us up for the greatest revival in this country ever. But the revival, listen to me if you got ears to hear, cannot come until we no longer trust the United States government. Are you hearing me? This is a sober word. We don't need revival in America because we've got the United States government. Now, I'm speaking to you prophetically, like as a prophet. You understand what I'm saying? This is where we're at. And so God has brought his hand back. He said, fine, let's see how well you do on your own. But the greatest revival that we have ever seen in the history of the country is coming to this country. In 1987, Rick Joyner wrote a book called The Harvest. He talked about two major waves of revival coming around the earth. We just finished the first wave in the last 4 to 5 years. Tens of millions, they say close, hundreds of millions at the least, became Christians. Almost none of it affected this country or Western Europe. And he prophesied that in this book. But the second great revival is going to dwarf the first one. And this one is going to include United States of America and Western Europe. But right now, very few people want God because the United States government has given them all that they need. You understand what I'm talking about? But I'm telling you, there is coming a place where the United States government will not be able to meet its demands again. And you and I, our trust is already going to be in God. Even if we're getting our check there, he'll work it some other way. And when there's chaos and anarchy in the street, the anointing of God is going to come on us and say, listen, this is the way to peace. This is the way to wholeness. This is the way to health. Isaiah 5. Anyway, Isaiah 6:20, wherever verse it was, says that great darkness shall come upon the earth, but the glory of the Lord will arise upon his people. I'm telling you. And so how does that happen? That happens by being close to him and walking in it now. When there's chaos out there, there can be chaos on the inside of you. All right, see ya. He told me they had a funeral to go to. See, our country has rebelled against God's principles. Let's just take all, oh, I'm so sick of it. All I hear is all these sexual issues and gender issues. LGBT this and homosexual this and that. And adultery this and that, whatever. You follow what I'm saying? We could outlaw all of those today, which we have no chance. It will not happen until after a revival. I'm not saying we stop. It's just not going to happen. 50 years ago, adultery was illegal in every state, but did people still do adultery? We could outlaw homosexuality. We could outlaw whatever, and people would still do it. It's not a legal issue. And see, what God's wanting to do, no matter what darkness comes across you, is the people, when the government's not around anymore, they're going to say, where is the answer? Daniel was in a government that was a despotic dictatorship called Babylon. And he prospered. That doesn't mean it wasn't tough at times, but he prospered. Why? Because he walked with God. He could interpret dreams. He had principles of how he ate and how he behaved. And the king turned to him for answers many times. Why? Because his house was in order. Why was his house in order? Because he walked with God. So no matter what's going on around the outside, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to get darker. But that's good. Because you as the light will shine out even more. Joseph was in one of the most powerful empires on the face of the earth. Egypt. And the king turned to him. Why? Because he had God. The days we live in are very simple. In Isaiah 5:20, all the times I listen to the news, it causes you to fret, as the Psalms was read earlier. It's doomed to those who call evil good and good evil. We're in those days now, from the president on down. We call immoral behavior that you cannot inherit the kingdom of God with, we call it good. And now Christians, evangelical Christians, are on the terrorist list of the CIA, FBI, and Department of Defense. We're called evil, and that's called good. That's okay, I understand it. It's your own rebellion against God. You will suffer the consequences of it. But I, in the midst of Babylon, I, in the midst of Egypt, will follow God, and my area will prosper. You see that? You've got to see that. We tend to look at the negative and the darkness. Another verse, Romans 1:22. Every time I listen to the news, I listen to our senators, not all of them. I listen to our leaders, not all of them. And Brian will tell me, he'll vouch for this. I say this all the time at work. Although they claim to be wise, they've become fools. How many times have I said that at work? We're hearing a news thing, and I go, they sound so wise, but they are fools. See, the further you move away from God, because of sin, deception comes in. It comes into your mind, it comes into your sin, and they honestly believe it's the right way because you get entrapped in your own consequences and your own sin. And then they look back at you that's following a different path, and they get intimidated about you, and that's why they don't want you around, because the anointing of God goes between the spirit and soul and permeates, and they go, oh my God, this is stupid. But I can't admit it now, because then I'd have to admit that there's a God. I'd have to admit that something's wrong, and I'd have to turn to Him. And so they attack the very thing that's trying to give them clarity and hope. But I'm telling you, when their world falls apart, they will then remember Alan over here, and when he walked into a place, there was peace. And he goes, I don't have peace anymore because my gods have disappeared. Myself first, and the extension through the United States government. Are y'all getting this? Because, see, you carry an atmosphere, an anointing with you, good or bad. How many of you ever been at, say, at a place of work, and somebody walks in and you go, oh, God, I can't believe they're here any again. Because they're so negative. Before it's over with, everybody's negative. They carry this critical negative spirit in with them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Or they come in and you go, that dude's so arrogant, it makes me so mad. He walks in, it's just a spirit of arrogance. Well, if there's a spirit of arrogance, a spirit of criticalness, a spirit of negativity that comes with people, there's the opposite too. There's love you can bring in. There's peace. The nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, go read them, Galatians 5:22. That gives you legal right to carry peace, love, joy, self-control, all the nine different ones in wherever you go. Do people look, I'm not talking about the people that hate you because you're Christian, but everybody, when you walk in and you leave, do people miss you? People like you when you come in. You don't even have to say anything, but you can carry peace. Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. And he says, wherever you go, look for a man of peace. You can be that person of peace. And in the midst of whatever happens, prosperity on a body, soul, spirit level, you can carry, because the kingdom of God principles always have consequences for good, no matter how bad. And we talk about the glory of God arising. Listen to me. This is how the glory of God's arising. Not by getting the right senators elected. It is not, we want that. Go vote, do whatever you need to do. But the problem is, most Christians don't even know how to vote. Don't get me started. That's flesh. Let's move on. God has the answer for everything. And guess what? It's you. That's the point of this whole thing. God has an antidote for darkness, and it's you. Walking in the glory, his Holy Spirit. It's not just Michael doing it over here. Michael's the spiritual one. Well, he can do it. I can't do it. Yeah, you can. Well, how do I do it? It's real practical. Father, one of the things I struggle with is getting frustrated with my kids. Can y'all tell? Why? Because it reveals the selfishness in me. That's what frustration is. I can't do what I want to do. Sometimes it's because they're little just turkeys and they're being mouthy. But most of the time, and so I go, Father, what is it in me that gets frustrated? I should not be moved by this. Make me mature enough so I'm not moved by this. I can respond in the right way. That's the kingdom of God. Because if I was in heaven, I wouldn't be frustrated by this and I wouldn't be moved by this. And so when I deal with what seems like not a world-changing issue, how to be a good parent, it's changing the atmosphere in my home. How many of us have been around families that when you had parties, you go secretly with your spouse, I hope that family doesn't come. Am I the only one? Y'all all done it because your house is a disaster. There's no respect. They're running around like crazed maniacs. There's drawings on the walls. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's all happened to me. I hope my kids hadn't done it to yours. If they have, I apologize. God is the answer for everything. All right, before we show this video, let me share this with you. This is good. I understood this a little while ago. You are the antidote. You are the... I'm telling you, we go, well, when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to fix it all. Yeah. But what if he doesn't come back for 25 years? Are you going to... You follow what I'm saying? He says, when I do come back, in Revelation, he says, I want to see faith on the earth. Faith means believing for heaven to come into earth now and not just waiting till I get there. He's saying, where will I see faith on the earth? Start with yourself. Start with your family. And it can change. Now, next month, I'm going to talk about this again. I'm going to show another video. I'm going to talk about of revelation the Lord's given the body of Christ maybe 15, 20 years ago. It was about the fivefold ministry, that government is not at the top elders and deacons. It's the fivefold, and elders and deacons work through that. And you've heard that here, apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, Ephesians 4, 11, 12, and 13. And so we believe all of that. You've heard all of that. But you realize most of those offices are to be in the marketplace. That's a truth that God wants to get out there. Your best pastors are probably not going to be in the church or as good. Rick Joyner shared the story that after Columbine many years ago, there was a group of NFL athletes that was asked to come and speak at that school when they finally got back together after their break and counseling. And I don't remember he told the names, but in my mind, this is a story I'm just making up as I go along. I can't remember, but they were prominent NFL athletes at the time. And they said, we will come if Rick Joyner can come with us. He doesn't have to speak. We just want him there because he was their pastor, so to speak. So they went to Columbine. And the principal there made on the first day a special session when they came back and told the NFL athletes, you can share whatever you want. And they said, well, can we talk about God? And he said, yeah. And they said, isn't that illegal? He goes, yeah. They said, what do you want to do? He says, do you think I care at this point? And so they shared, great meeting, much went on, but this was the point. Rick said he stayed with that pastor or that principal all day. And he said he realized he was a pastor. How many of you, most people in your school, you're scared to death of your principal? He said all day long, people were coming up wanting to talk to the principal. And he said he could tell it wasn't just trying to get favors. He could tell by the end of the day, he says, these guys love their principal. And he loves them. They just wanted to come up and him just to touch them. They didn't understand the spiritual dynamic. And Rick said then, this was however many years ago, he started to realize, this guy is in the office of pastor working as a principal. That's revolutionary, isn't it? And so we'll talk about that more next month and get into that more next month. But that's bringing the kingdom of God into the earth. We've got about a 15-minute video, so I'm going to take 2 minutes and say this. You are uniquely positioned to do this, to bring heaven into earth. When you were made in Genesis, what were you made out of? Yeah, the dirt, the dust of the earth. Women, you're actually not dirt like we are. So next time you get ticked to your husband, just say, you are dirt. I'm not. Maybe you shouldn't do that when you're in anger. So you were made of the dust of the earth. But you were not alive when he first made you out of the dust of the earth. What had to happen? God had to come and breathe his spirit, his life into your mouth. And so you are now a mixture of the earth and heaven. It's good, isn't it? So only you can bring heaven into the earth. Now, let's watch this video and see what happened in Guatemala. And I'm going to talk for 2 or 3 minutes at the end. May not. But as you watch this, you're going to see a city. You're going to see an introduction. Then he's going to have to jump ahead to the fourth story. So give him, Kyle, some slack there. You're going to see a region totally transformed by people living kingdom principles, and not one leader was elected that was changed. Not one law was elected or changed. America was not great for the first 200 years because of their government. You have to understand this. It was a great government. We were great for 200 years because we were moral people, and the government is an extension of the people. And that's where we're moving back to. Where the country is going to be changed, not by the right leaders and the right laws, but by the right people on the right principles. All right, go ahead, Cal.